So awesome to be here with you guys and to share in the Lord's Supper and to hear Brian's message this morning. And this one will be okay, but Brian had an awesome class about overcoming. So think about those things. Another thing I wanted to announce, and I forgot to tell you, that is we didn't talk about much yet, but the rally is coming up. So we do need, if you guys want to start thinking about throwing $100 in for the into the collection for the rally, so we can get that up and running, so we have that money in ahead of time, and we can have an awesome rally, and don't have to worry about money again, because it worked out good last year. The money we had from your guys' great donations and the ones we had from the people that came in at the church functioned well. So it was awesome. Please? No, we're still coming up with it yet. So didn't know. There's some things in process, so we're trying to figure that out first, and then maybe that'll clear itself up. So, okay. All right. Let's open in prayer. Father God, Lord, we are grateful, thankful for this beautiful day. Lord, we are so enamored by you, Lord. You are what makes this world go round. You are involved in everyone's life, Lord, to a certain extent, Lord, for the world to bring closer to you, Lord, always drawing them near, always trying to draw them near, Lord. And to us, Lord, you indwell us. Lord, we're thankful. Lord, you've given us so much, Lord, and help us not to take that for granted, Lord, and help us to walk by that vision that we are your servants that do your will here on earth, Lord, and we are the walking Jesus, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. May we be cooperative with that process, Lord, and may we just walk with that vision. We just praise you, we honor you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I've been going through character traits as I get a chance to speak up here. And today is cooperative. That's a character trait of Jesus. Cooperative, the definition I have found is showing a willingness to act, not necessarily comfortable with the word act, but or work together for a shared purpose. Okay? Showing a willingness to act or work together for a shared purpose. Okay? Basically unity. Basically coming together for something we all believe in. Okay? Co-operation. Right? Co-operative, co-operation. Two or more people working together, united on the same project with the same vision. That's my biblical definition of cooperative. It's two people can have different operations, right? But if we both have the same progress, the same, not progress, same vision, on the same project, we'll get it done together. That's cooperative. So we're going to talk about a couple of things where cooperative comes in place. What happens when you're not cooperative? Doesn't get done, does it? Doesn't? You're against what someone else is doing. And you may have your reasons for that. Maybe it's not what you believe in. You may not be, I'm not talking about church, I'm just talking about things. You know, kids might not want to make their bed. They're not cooperative because they don't have the same vision you do, you know, of how their room's supposed to look. Husband and wife may not be cooperative on maybe balancing a budget because there's certain things that they're not tied into what you're tied into. So, that should be in church. Cooperative, because we have the same vision, right? We all have the same vision. But let's talk about, again, the world a little bit. Cooperative, most of us have jobs, right? So cooperative in a workplace. This will give you a little vision on what happens when you're cooperative in a workplace, or the whole aspect of it, I guess. If you just come, if you go to work for the purpose of doing the doing your job the best you can, you will be cooperative, won't you? Because that'll be part of the process of doing the job the best you can. You listen to people, you take their advice, you do what the boss says, you cooperate with him, and you'll be a good worker. What if you just went to work just to get a paycheck? What if you just went to work to draw a paycheck? Would you do the best you could do? Or are you going to do it because you're going to get the paycheck anyway, you showed up? That's not cooperative, is it? So there's a difference. Attitude has a lot to do with being cooperative, isn't it? Attitude has a lot. Why do you do what you do? That's always a Christianity theme. Why do you do what you do? If it was a paycheck, you would do the bare minimum to get paid. But if it's about work, doing the best you can and loving to come to work, do you think your paycheck would increase with that kind of attitude, without even thinking about the paycheck, without the money? If you went and did the best and tried to do your best and better than you did the next day with an attitude of, man, I love this job, do you think your paycheck would increase? Absolutely. To a certain extent. They can't pay you more money than what the company makes or what the owner makes. So, but they would pay you as much as they could afford to pay you to keep you there so they wouldn't lose you. But you may work yourself out of another job. You may find something else that would pay you a little bit more that you love to do from there. So, desire. Desiring with the attitude of coming together for a certain project. The attitude has a lot to do with cooperative. If you don't feel like doing it, you ain't going to be cooperative. That's why cleaning the building's hard. You know, a lot of people don't want to clean the building. Why? Because their attitude ain't in it. You know, it's just not something that everybody desires to do. Well, we could change our attitude and it would get done. And it is getting done, don't get me wrong. You know, but some don't like to do it. Okay, now we went to the workplace. Now, what about the household? Husbands and wives. If you're a worker, a husband or a dad or a wife or a mom who just wants to do the bare minimum in their relationship, or a kid in their relationship, are they being cooperative? Bare minimum. See, bare minimum. What would change? Why would you be that way? Why would you do the bare minimum? Because your attitude, right? You're about yourself. See, cooperative, it takes two to come together, right? You can't be about yourself. You get to be about someone else or a higher purpose to be cooperative. Okay? I see a lot of cooperation here. I'm not preaching anything to anybody or anything like that. This is just going through the change. So I'm actually preaching to the choir because you guys are very cooperative. Okay? Marriage is a good example of cooperative. You come together from being single to being bonded together because you chose it. Okay? To invest in the things you like together. To make your life better. Right? Would that be a good reason to get married? You like each other, and then when you come together, well, let's do this. Let's do that. And you have to come together to make those decisions. Okay, that's a great example of cooperation because you become one. It's a huge part. You're going to fulfill each other's needs, aren't you? In cooperation. Because you have to be cooperative to fulfill someone's needs, don't you? If someone maybe needs new tires on their car, and you're thinking, I'm going to do that. I want her safe. You know, that's cooperative. That's thinking outside of yourself. Kids, you think of the kids' sake, whatever they need over your own need. That's cooperative. That's cooperating as one unit for a higher purpose. What if your house is, you got a bunch of kids, maybe four, you're renting a smaller place. You know it's tough to budget. It's been tough to budget. And you sit there and you make decisions and you know it's going to be tough. I'm going to have to work a little harder. I'm going to have to figure things out. I'm going to have to tighten the budget a little bit. But for us to make this work, we're going to have to get a bigger house. It's going to have to happen. We got to be cooperative in those things. Buying a new car. Retirement. All those things for one common goal. For marriage, you make these decisions all the time, and you didn't even know you were being cooperative. That's the thing about cooperative. You don't know it because it's what you both want together. Okay? So it's very important that we're cooperative, but the most important thing is, are we cooperating with God? That's really the big picture here. His words. Do we cooperate with His words? Let's look at what Moses did over his time period. Genesis 3. Moses was a little not believing in who he was. Therefore, he wasn't very cooperative. I'm going to read 3, 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any... Excuse me. I'm in Genesis. I meant Exodus. Sorry. Genesis 3. I was thinking, why is the serpent in this little thing? I didn't have him in there. He definitely is not cooperative, right? Definitely not cooperative. So, Exodus 3, 1 through 6. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blaze of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now to see this marvelous light, why the bush was not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, from the place which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Isaac. Excuse me, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Moses was curious, wasn't he? He's seen something, just like we all did before we came to Christ, came to God in the right way. We were curious of what this Christianity was, so we get entertained a Bible study. And we realized who our Father really was. I wonder why Moses hid his face after that. Because he was guilty of seeing the glory of God and not following the way it was. So that's what we all do. That guilt brings us to Christ. He didn't have Christ to come to. Okay? So, God tells him, verse 10 through 12. I'll just read 7 through 12. Then the Lord said, surely I've seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of the suffering, so I came down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, to bring them up from the land to a good spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppressions of which the Egyptians are oppressing them. So God tells him what his plan is. Now, from this point, Moses can be cooperative with the plan or uncooperative. So, 10 and 12 says, therefore, come now, I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that whom you have sent, that it is I whom you who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. God gave him instructions, right? And told him who he was. And Moses said, told him, I need your help. And Moses said, who am I? He wasn't willing to cooperate with the Lord, living God, the one that made everything. He wasn't willing to cooperate. 3:18, let's jump down to. Start in 17. So I said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will pay heed to what you say. And you with the elders of Israel, you will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met us. So now please let us go 3 days' journey in the wilderness so that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So God tells him to do something, right? Told him, hey, I want to bring your people out of the afflictions of Egypt, and here's what I want you to tell Pharaoh. God says, let's see what Moses does in 4:1-5. Then Moses said, what if they do not believe me or listen to what I say? Have we ever done that? I have. I have. Yeah, you have too, huh? See, God says, and we don't think we can. We're not being cooperative with God. See, faith would say, I am who you say I am. And cooperating with those statements. See, that's the problem. We put on our own little thoughts, get in the way of what God says. You think Moses was getting in his own way? Absolutely, wasn't he? He got in his own way with his own thoughts and his own process. Instead of being cooperative with what God said, he had his own plan. Hey, you got the wrong guy here, dude. I can't do what you say. But he's given him the power. If you read that context there, God showed him how powerful he was. Moses said, I can't do it. You can't do anything on your own. If you're trying to do it on your own, you can't do it. God is doing it for you through your faith in what he says and being cooperative with that faith. He does the work. We just cooperate and believe him more than you did the day before. If we just stay the same, we're not being cooperative. If we still have the same thoughts we had yesterday, we're not being cooperative. Pushing forward to get rid of those negative thoughts. I'm guilty of it just like anybody else. Stinking thinking is the killer of the Christian. Stinking thinking. That's what it boils down to. The stinking thinking is, I got to do this, I got to do that. That'll kill you. It'll kill you. Good thinking is, God gave me the power. And I love him enough. And I'm going to be cooperative in his process and in his will. And I'm going to remind myself how cooperative I am with him every day. And I'm going to go through the scriptures that tell me who I am and be cooperative with who he says I am and not believe what I think I was in the past. See, we entered a covenant with God saying he would help us do his will, which boils really down to worship, right? If you're in the Spirit 24 hours a day, you are worshiping God. The Spirit never leaves you. It's always with you. The Spirit of God indwells Christians. So there's no place we go to worship. We always have God with us. What kind of power is that? What kind of power is that? See, we are spiritually prostrate in front of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know what that'll do? If you have that kind of vision, that kind of thought process, it causes your service that's inside of you, your heart and your love for God to be driven outward to be cooperative with his word. Because, man, he's with me every step of the way. And I am spiritually prostrate. That means I'm cooperative with your word. And if I'm not, you're going to straighten me out with that. See, being cooperative brings peace to a situation, doesn't it? Moses ran from Egypt because he killed an Egyptian. And his brothers figured it out. Moses thought that God used him when he killed that Egyptian that he was going to be the deliverer of Israel. That's exactly what he thought after that. But when that guy came up the next day, what are you going to do, kill us too? He's thinking to himself, how am I going to deliver? How am I going to deliver someone there that scared of me? He thought his own thoughts. Instead of believing God was a deliverer of Israel, he hightails it out of there, didn't believe what God has told him. Hightails it out of there. So what's God do? He'll throw a burning bush out here. We're going to get you back in the rails again. Still don't believe. It's what he does with us. Right there is where we started. Right? How many times were we not cooperative in what he told us? And he brings that fire right back to us again. To say, I did choose you. I chose you. You are who I say you are. Are we going to be cooperative with that? You look at the apostles. Why did they follow Jesus? Let's go to John 1:35. It's kind of like the burning bush a little bit. Ask a question. John 1:35. They were out in the wilderness watching John's immersion. They actually seen Jesus be baptized. They were probably around to hear the conversation of, behold the Lamb of God. They probably heard that. They're probably scratching their heads saying, really? But 1:35 says, and again the next day, John was standing with the two disciples, and he looked at Jesus, and he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They seen the process. They were enamored by Jesus. They followed. Behold the Lamb of God. You think they could have scoffed at that? No, they were cooperative. They seen Let's look at 33 here. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him. So who's seeing the Spirit descending and remaining upon them? The disciples. They knew. Did we see spiritually the Holy Spirit coming upon us? Yeah. We know who we are. See, they were cooperative at this point with the words. They followed. They're going to see what this was about. That's what we're doing. We're learning what this is about. Jesus spoke and instilled the words in them. But it was hard for them to understand. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke in parables. He actually said, you can't understand me right now, but when the Spirit comes, you will. Jesus changed them from fishermen to fishers of men. But they had to be cooperative in the process. The process of change, they had to listen. Be cooperative, don't we? If you hear something and you're really not paying attention, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to focus in on what they said and do what they said because you really didn't care. So being cooperative is listening to the words of God as you're reading and saying, man, I am this. I am this? What could you do with that kind of power? That he's talking to you every day through his scriptures, and you follow because you're cooperative. You've got a heart. You've got the same heart Jesus has. Exact same heart. Let's talk a little bit. What we're really talking about is unity. Cooperative in God's words. Let's go to Acts 4 and see how the apostles did this. You know, recently immersed they were, all the disciples. Recently, within 2-3 years, had the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. And we're going to start out in Acts 4, verse 32. Okay. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart, one soul, and not one of them claimed anything belonging to him was his own. But all things were common property to them. And they with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all were owners of land or houses, who would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sale to lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each who had need. Now Joseph the Levite, the Cyprian of birth, was also called Barnabas. The apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. And he owned a tract of land and sold it and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Look at this here now. They claimed nothing belonging to him was their own, but all things were common property. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And abundant grace was upon them. Abundant grace was upon them. Why? They were cooperative. They were cooperative. They believed with one heart, one soul. God said, "This ain't your stuff. It's everybody's." Apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what we're doing here. That's why I say we are cooperative. If I needed something, I know you guys would be there. Darren needed something, I know we would be there. We would. No doubt about it. So abundant grace is upon this church. We are cooperative. Look, $713. That was low when we first started and put the thing back there. No squalms about you need to raise more, we need to give more, nothing like that. But on your own hearts, your own initiatives, this thing increased. Because we are cooperative. Now let's look at what Ananias and Sapphira did in 5:1-3. But a man named Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some price for his own. For himself, with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? Well, Barnabas gave money. Ananias gave money. What's the deal with Peter? What's the big deal? Well, the big deal was Ananias lied about it. He said he gave it all and he kept some back. Was he cooperative with God? No. Why wasn't he cooperative? He gave money. He did what he's supposed to do. But he wanted to look better in the church than he really was. He wasn't real faithful in giving it all. So how can I do this and still look good? How can I do that and still look good to the people? Lie. He didn't realize he's lying to the Holy Spirit. He just thought he's lying to Peter and them. God takes things a little more serious than we think. He wasn't cooperative with the words. He wasn't cooperative with God. This money, these people had everything they needed. The money, I can't back it up. Doesn't say it in the scriptures. This is my own opinion. So you can look it up, you can figure it out, you can take the whole context and see what it says and make your own opinions. Or not, too. It's okay. But we had over 2 million to 3 million people come to, can't think of the name of it. Pentecost, thank you. I kept thinking Apostle Cost and I kept rolling. Couldn't get that out of my head. Pentecost, 2 to 3 million people came on Pentecost, right? Oh, from all over the world. 3,000 of them were immersed. Where did they go? Think they went back home? Or you think they were cooperative with the scriptures and they were sharing with one another? Because they didn't want to leave the body. They cared about the kingdom. They were there. So where are they going to stay? Where are they going to go? How are people going to live? That's what the money was for. We give to what people need. It's important. We need this building, don't we? We can survive without it. This costs us a lot to live here, but it's well worth it. It's paid for, just got a few expenses, so it's well worth it. There's other people. There's other things that need out there. And this isn't about money or anything like that. But cooperative with this scripture right here, giving to all have need. Maybe some people just need uplifted and encouraged. Maybe that's what they need. Maybe some people need to be vent what their week was like. And you know that maybe you're the one to listen so they can feel a little better getting it off their chest. See, it's what we're here for. We share our very lives. It's what God wants us to do. We are family. We are. I know we don't live in a commune. We don't share our dinners every night. I know we don't do all those things in our very lives every day and call each other on the phone. We share right there in the communion. We share in the spirit. We pass the plates sharing because that is who we are. We are the body and we are the blood of Jesus. We are the kingdom of God. So when I pass to Brian, I'm sharing my very life with him spiritually. So cooperative. Can we be more cooperative with His words, you think? You think we could put forth some faith to say, you know what, I'm going to maybe set aside a little time in this type of day to renew who I am in Christ. So that maybe I can fully know that I'm a new creature. And maybe I can fully become cooperative with His words. And you know what? That really glorifies God when He hears His scriptures said back to Him through faith. So that's probably what I'm going to do. See, faith is really what we're talking about here. It's really what we're talking about. Brian had a good one on faith this morning. Made me put this puzzle together with my eyes shut, and I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it because I didn't have the vision of the puzzle, being blind. But if I would have stared at that, looked at some of the curves, and could picture that in my brain, I could have put that puzzle together with my eyes closed. Still might not have done it in 12 seconds, but I could have done it. That's what He wants us to do. We're not seeing the spiritual realm with our physical eyes. But every day, if we're cooperative with the Scriptures, we see it in here. And then what happens? Flow out of us. It'll just flow out of us. You can't be a Christian. You are a Christian. You can't become a Christian. You are a Christian. These present positive affirmatives, if we know who we are, we'll perform that way. Because we don't exist anymore. We're already dead. We're dead. You no longer live, but Christ lives in you. Be cooperative. Once them little thoughts pop up in your brain, don't believe, I get them. Everybody gets them. We got to squash them. Get behind me, Satan. Because Satan dwells in your past. He dwells in your past. What you did yesterday doesn't matter. If you think, let's take basketball, since I watched a lot of it lately. If you take out there and you play, and you go out there thinking, I just don't feel like playing today. Or I don't. Not really. These guys are a little better than me, you know. Coach don't like me, whatever. How do you think you're going to play? But if our attitudes can be confident in who we know we are, we'll play to that potential. Confident in anything. You take football, you take work, you take life, you take being a good husband, you take being a good worker, you take anything. If you have that vision and you're cooperative with that vision, you will succeed. You've already won the battle. You convinced your mind that you are. Problem is doubt. Doubt. What causes doubt? Maybe you're a basketball player, you miss a shot. You go away shaking your head. You gave in to the process. If you're a worker and your miter don't fit up right after you nail it, and it fit before you nail it, and the darn thing doesn't fit now, what are you going to do? Good carpenter takes it off and replaces it, but fixes it. But a basketball player can't take that shot back, can he? If he dwells on it, his next shot he's going to miss. But if he thinks, give me the ball at the end of the game, give me the ball at the end of the game, I'm going to win. I'm going to put it in. I want that ball. You're going to win. Cooperative in who you are. So it's a big part of Jesus' character. He cooperated with everybody. He cooperated with the Pharisees the way they needed to be cooperated with. He gave them scripture to shut them up. He didn't tell them they stunk, this and that, get out of here. He chased everything out of the temple because they didn't belong there. He was cooperative with God. And he cooperated, gladly cooperated with the Pharisees to show them the Word and what truly lies. So that's where we need, where we are. Excuse me, I catch my little glimpse. So we are there. We are chasing out those things out of our temple every day, the things that don't belong. We're chasing them out. Get out! That's what Jesus was doing with a whip. You don't belong here. Get out! Be cooperative. All right. Let's close. Father God, Lord, grateful.